I'm your host, Sully, and once again, having a returning guest, but this time he's in the interviewee chair. Legion podcast, multi-caster extraordinaire, Ricky Morgan. Yeah.
Sully, what's up, man?
Hey, glad to have you back. And yeah, more importantly, just glad to tell your story. You may know him from numerous podcasts, including the Helming Power Hour, Doctor Movie, You Know What's Awesome, Short Bus Cinema, and House of Wax.
And everybody listening's going, yeah, I don't know any of these shows.
I don't know any of these shows. Who is that man? He's been a recurring and frequent guest on everything from Two Drink Minimum Commentaries to Cinema Beef, now known as The Butcher Shop, as well as Fancy and Friends. He's been on here plenty of times, but he's also guest starred in Forgotten Filmcast and just various other ones. Bravo.
I'm kind of that kid. Of course, going all the way back to my teenage years, I guess, I've never had a drink of alcohol in my life, so that's one thing. But the thing is I was still invited to all the parties because I was the entertainment.
Were you the chauffeur often half the time where you're like, I'm driving everybody home?
No, they wouldn't let me drive. I was too crazy to drive. So, but I was the freelanced free entertainment. So, you know, getting invited on these shows is kind of that same thing. I think they think I might make them chuckle. I don't know. So
yeah, you want to have fun.
Right. So. Yeah. If it ain't fun, stay home.
There you go. What's the point? So you've been doing this almost a decade now. Let's backtrack a little bit. Where did it all begin? Yeah, you've been a farm boy all your life.
Well, no, not really. I'm married into a farm, I guess you'd say.
Oh, there you go.
I married my high school sweetheart. We met when I was 13.
Lucky
and
you.
We've been together ever since. And you know, she's a farm girl. We are total opposites attract, right? I'm Mr. Rock and Roll, had the mullet, zebra skin jacket. I was that guy. And she was, you know, cutesy little girl. Kind of looks like Meg Ryan.
Oh, and, there you go. Look at you.
Yeah. But she grew up on the farm and her folks hated when I came out to their house, right? I mean, her dad would literally just shoo me when he saw me pull it in the driveway.
Man.
So, because I'm not from the country, but, you know, lo and behold, I grew up, I'm in Tennessee. I mean, you know, you drive 5 miles out and you're in the country, no matter where you're at, even in Nashville. So,
you can't escape it.
Yeah. So I tried to play dumb with it because I knew what comes along with living on a farm, which is hauling hay, messing with cattle. Well, the more that I play dumb, hey, I'm from the city, I don't know how to do any of that stuff, it worked out in my advantage because, you know, hey, I might get hurt out there doing this. I better stay in here in the air conditioning where it's nice and cool.
There you go.
Instead of get out there and get hurt. But that kind of got ruined when, you know, they found out that I was like the top judge in FFA, you know, cattle judging. And so,
damn.
Yeah. So anyways,
have you always been based in Tennessee?
Yep. Yeah, and really in this area, so which is West Tennessee, not really close to anything important. I guess Jackson, Tennessee would be the closest bigger town, which is not big. About 2 hours from Memphis, about 2 hours from Nashville. So I'm in the middle of nowhere.
There you go.
Matter of fact, my next door neighbors are Amish, if that tells you anything. People say, hey, Rick, where do you live? I say, just follow the electricity where it stops.
Follow the Amish.
That's me. but yeah, getting back to just getting into podcasting, I drive 1 hour and 10 minutes to work every day. And you run out of music after a while. And I did what most people do that listen to podcasts is you just start picking some shows and start listening. And I started listening to the Midnight Horror Show. I don't know if you remember that show or not.
I think I've seen it. Yeah.
Well, that's where Duncan McLeish came from.
Yeah. Podcast Under the Stairs. Yeah.
Yep. And Fancy Mark, all those guys, they were all on that show together. And I just absolutely loved it. And one night I was listening and they were talking about something and I just messaged out there and Duncan responded back and we just kind of hit it off. And
it all began.
From there, it just grew.
He's alive.
Yeah. I was listening to them. Then I started listening to Killer POV. I'm going back a bit there. Now, that's Rebecca McKendry, Rob Galuzzo, and I became really good, you know, pretty good friends with Rob and Elric Kane, and they had this show, one of the best podcasts ever. And the problem is it got too big. Then they started getting sponsorship, and then they got picked up, and then they became Shockwaves. Then it became whatever it is now for Fangoria. So, I mean, they've just, you know, they're about the biggest horror podcast that's out there.
Wow.
And really got into that, started listening to Duncan a lot, and I started just asking him questions. Hey, what about this? Because, you know, I like to talk, in case you can't tell. and he started just giving me some hints on what to do. As far as making it work, being consistent,
he's been doing
it
a while. Yeah.
Which I've never been consistent, but you know, just about everything Duncan told me, I did right opposite. But he was a great mentor, and I called my buddy Danny Bennett. You know, I said, "Hey, what do you think about you and me doing a podcast together?" And it was going to be called Six Demon Bag when we started. Big Trouble in Little China reference, and that didn't pan out because I think there was another show called that, even though they only had like three episodes and they had discontinued. But I said, let's not take that chance. And we started kicking around the ideas, and that's where the Hell Ming Power came from, Power Hour. And that was basically just, we tried to think of what's our favorite movies, our go-tos. And it was obviously Big Trouble in Little China first. And then Flash Gordon was kind of the next, as far as he and I getting together and just enjoying watching movies, which, you know, he and I worked together in Nashville. I lived in Nashville for quite a while. And we just became best friends. And then we moved back home. But this was a good way for he and I to stay in contact with each other. Because, you know, when you're separated like that, you kind of lose track and life happens. And
you got to watch infamous movies with someone.
Right. And so he and I just, this was a good way for us to keep in contact with each other and keep talking. And, you know. Nice.
How would you describe how you developed your love of just crazy, goofy, wacky, cheesy cinema?
Just what I grew up watching. I mean, I was not a risk taker. I wasn't the kid. Like I said, I didn't drink a drop in my life. I didn't drive fast cars. I wasn't a risk taker, you know. I played music, you know, which I still do, still play in a band. And
what's your band, by the way?
And Midlife Crisis.
That's a great name. Have you thought of uploading any tracks onto any of them?
Oh, no, it's just cover tunes. You know, we're just doing, one minute we'll do Journey and then we'll do Iron Maiden. So it's just 80s stuff, you know. And, but out of all that, I just reached out to Danny and I tried to describe what I wanted to do. And he said, so let me see if this is correct. He said, you want to do UHF, but on a podcast. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. I want to make a show that's like UHF, where you got goofy, you know, goofy skits and, you know, just crazy zany stuff, make it entertaining. Nobody cares how
breaking
much knowledge.
Breaking the fourth wall, especially when you have it to where it sounds like someone else is arguing or talking with you. I mean, you were doing some zany fun stuff there. It was like, hey, kudos to you. If you can do all that editing and make it coherent, that's fun.
Well, again, with the music background, I used to do a lot of recording for bands. So what most people absolutely hate about podcasting, which all of you out there, if you're interested in podcasting, editing is the nightmare. It's the hardest part. You got to sit back. Me too, you know, because I got a background in it with, you know, recording bands, which is way harder.
Go to your broadcasting college, go to something where you'll need it down the road, especially if you're setting up your home stereo or just even the most minor thing, helping out as an assistant at House of Blues or something, you know?
Right. Yeah. That just kind of happened naturally as far as that. And yeah, I mean, it just became really what it came down to is us trying to crack each other up. Who could make a synopsis?
Not crank you off, but crank you up. Okay, cool.
Fake synopsis for the movie. Yeah. And, you know, it was just fun. It's fun. And it still is. You know, we don't do as many shows as we used to, but we just talked last week. We got a new episode coming out. Real, real soon. We just hit episode 100 after
Bingo.
All these years. So we had some, you know, some up and down times as far as all that, but finally hit 100. We're about to do 101. And we're trying to get back to that original formula that we had and, okay, cool. You know, doing the skits and stuff. So the next episode that comes out, which will be Superman 2, 3, and 4. And, yeah,
man, but we got
skits to go along with that.
Someone's got to do it.
Trying to get back to the old original formula because, yeah, that was just fun. You know, it took a lot out of us and we kept making it bigger and bigger. And then it just got to where it was too much. And I think that's kind of what we crashed and burned a bit.
Hey, ambition's not a bad thing, but I see what you mean. Find your limit.
Sure. Yeah. And life happens, right? I mean, Danny has 2 teenage kids in high school. One just graduated.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, those things kind of trump anything else. So you're just kind of, you know, at the mercy of whatever he can do. And, you know, but that was the thing. We never intended to really become anything out of this. We just did it for the fun of talking about these movies that we feel like not enough people talk about. And that was the weird thing about getting at Legion, because we recorded the first episode, which was Krull and Dragon Slayer together.
There you go.
We recorded it. I sent it to Duncan. I was like, what do you think about this? And he's like 5 minutes later, he said, you're going to be getting a phone call from a guy. It was Bo Ransdale.
There you go. I'm Legion.
So they instantly, he said, how do I get your show on our network? I'm like, well, you've got a copy of it, you know? And we didn't know anything about this. So we really got lucky just getting it, you know, to the right people. And Bo and Duncan both just absolutely loved it. And that's kind of how it happened. But it kind of threw a wrench in what Legion was doing, because they were all doing strictly horror stuff. Then all of a sudden, here comes these goofballs doing, you know, Dragon Slayer or you know, 3 o'clock High or, you know,
direct video, Full Moon type stuff. And then
we kind of stay away from those. That's more of my thing. That's why I do the solo shows, because there's a ton of stuff that's never going to make it on Helming because Danny just doesn't care for him. He doesn't like the Roger Corman stuff.
I remember that. Yeah, he didn't care for Rick Corman.
Right. So,
too much Steve Herding.
We got, you know, our shows are going to be more of the stuff that was, let's just put it this way, the stuff that was on HBO between like 82 to 88 that was on every day, you know.
Just something that's an ambitious, crazy movie instead of low budget galore. Who was your favorite kind of horror host growing up? I mean, there was the Virus, Fingulies, Joe Bob, and
you know,
Rod Sterling's.
Growing up, we didn't really have anybody in my area. Oh. So I didn't see these people till way later on. We had the Creature Feature that come on, but there was nobody hosting it. It would have a little claymation thing that kind of came up and said Creature Feature, and that was it. As far as a host, I mean, I didn't know who Elvira was till about 88.
How many Mystery Science Theater movies have you been prepared to kind of tackle on Rift?
I've got the whole set of MST3K right here in front of me.
Oh, there you go.
I was there from the very first episode when it first came out on Comedy Central here.
Woo.
And, you know,
good time.
I'm still a Joel fan. I mean,
same.
Yeah.
I was so blessed to talk to Frank and Trace and just hear these guys just such a zany sense of humor that just, I get you. Like just seeing Frank saying, my source of humor comes from watching every revenge movie and laughing my ass off it. I'm like, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, it's one of those things, right? You're just instantly drawn to it because it's like, hey, this is something that's part of who I am. Right.
Yeah. So, these guys get me. They've made it bigger and I'm happy for them. But then now it's a different kind of humor that's now kind of second nature. But back then it was kind of word of mouth. Like, hey, you want to watch something crazy with me?
Oh, it's all brand new. You know, the fact that, you know, you saw him sitting down there and just riffing on the thing. I don't know. It was just perfection for the time. I would videotape every episode and watch it 2 or 3 times a week, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, I was really into those early days for sure.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
When did you, you're on Legion, you're doing some crossovers with all the other shows. You guys about a year ago, you and Court of Cinema PsyOps were doing an audio commentary show where you'd watch a particular B picture and you'd be syncing it up, like you could watch it with the movie. Where did that idea come from? And is that still happening?
Yeah, matter of fact, we just talked last week about what our next one needs to be. We just finished Xanadu this last episode.
And what's the name of that show again? Sorry, I heard the
Mental Rental.
Mental Rental, yeah. I heard the Rolling Thunder episode. That was great.
Oh, yeah. And the reason it started, because, Legion started their Patreon, and, you know, we thought this is a nice opportunity to do something for Patreon and it be, you know, guests from other shows that don't normally work together. Of course, if you remember the Hail Ming stuff, there was a big rift between us and Cinema PsyOps, which is, you know, it was like the Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler
back
thing,
and
right?
forth.
It was fake, you know, but it had everybody going, what the heck's going on between these guys?
So, I could not stop guffawing. I'm like, oh, but yeah, it took a second episode where I'm like, oh, okay, I see. I didn't get it at first, but I get it now. Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, that was just to, you know, drive business, get people interested and check the shows out. And we both benefited from it. Danny hated it. He thought it was damaging, you know, because people would take it the wrong way. I'm like, no, man. I said, it's Andy Kaufman. I mean, that's what we're doing here. And, but it all worked out, and that led to, you know, lifetime friendships. I talked to Court pretty often, and I mean, what a cool guy, man.
Great guy.
I mean, and, you know, it was just a good opportunity to do something together. And it does go back to that Mystery Science Theater kind of thing where we're just kind of talking over the movie and making fun of it. And
very
it's all
meta.
In good fun. Yeah. And that's kind of how that started. You go back to Short Bus, which I met Johnny Krug at Texas Frightmare. And Johnny was one of the first shows that we listened to when we were starting to make Hail Ming. And it was really we would both listen to different shows. You know, we'd listen to Duncan. We'd listen to a podcast on Haunted Hill. And then we found, Johnny's show, Kruger Nation. And it was like, wow, it's just meat and potatoes. He didn't fluff it. We didn't like shows where they go, you know, you tune in because they're going to talk about a certain subject, but they spend the first hour talking about, well, I had a flat tire. And I mean, you know, we're like,
Krug.
Oh man. Yeah. That was devastating. And, you know, that was a fun show. We had a blast. And the new thing that Gary and I are doing, Gary Hill, which is called Look What You've Done or Look What You Did, is kind of a tip of the hat to Short Bus, you know. But I'm serious. There's nothing that can capture that lightning in the bottle again. It was just fantastic. And yeah, man, what episodes there is, that's all there is. And I thought about handing it off at one time, but I don't know. The right thing to do is just leave it as it is. And yeah, I sure miss him, man. He was a lot of fun. And yeah, it's a shame, you know.
Yeah.
But we met each other at Texas Frightmare, matter of fact, and Danny, and we just hit it off. And the idea there was, you know, it goes back kind of a Mystery Science Theater thing again, right? Let's try to find the worst movie ever made. And we got pretty dang close a few times.
Yeah. And you'll get there. You'll get there. What do you think mainly just gets you up in the morning other than just want to have fun and just do some chores and then sit back and relax?
I'm really kind of a workaholic. I drive an hour and 10 minutes to work one way, so it's two and a half hours in a car. So my job, I'm a CI engineer, so I'm always trying to find better ways to improve things and make things better. And so I'm doing that, and then I play in the band. I do a lot of, you know, some video graphics for some people that need some help. Not video graphics, but put some video stuff together. I do some audio mixing for people. I'm always dabbling with something. So it's hard for me to just sit and not do anything. Even if I'm watching a movie, I'm usually doodling.
You want to be cooking while the movie's on.
Well, be honest with you. I'm talking to you right now, and I'm sitting behind a set of drums at the same time. I'm not playing, but I'm behind my drums. I mean, so there's this thing.
Even
of,
then, you're still writing some music or thinking about how you'll play something tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just the way I'm wired. Both of my parents were the same way. They'll take a nap, you know, in like a Sunday afternoon, but the rest of the time it's just go, go, go. And I've always told people, it's like, I'm not happy unless there's too much on my plate. So I get a platter, you know?
Yes. Did you know there's also another podcast host who shares your name?
Uh-uh.
The Ricky Morgan Show. I kid you not.
Oh, really?
It would pop up here once in a while on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. I'm like, who is that?
Well, cool.
And the same
maybe,
guy.
Maybe I'll meet him sometime. Believe it or not, in my hometown where I grew up, was another Ricky Morgan. So I would get his mail. We both worked at the same place. There was an emergency phone call that happened one time, and they called us both in and said, somebody called for Rick. And we're like, well, which one? You know? And it, luckily, we had a different middle name, and that's how we just deciphered who it was. And the other bad thing is this guy had some issues, I guess you say, in his younger days. And my mom would call and say, hey, I just saw where Ricky Morgan got a DUI. I just want to make sure it wasn't you. It's like, no, it wasn't me, Mom. So
promise. Oh, that sucks. But that goes back to, I mean, I used to be a fan of just local radios, and here in Dallas, Texas, they had the Bo and Jim Show. And
yeah,
I loved how they had a shtick where they would do some prank calls, and they, they did a game that they've been doing since like 2002. And I think they stopped because they, you know, people aren't as cool with prank calls anymore, but their whole shtick was, can I talk to dumbass? And there'd always be someone who would just be a smart ass back going, which one?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you get, of course it grew into, you know, Jerky Boys and
Mercer, Realm of Darkness. Yeah. The Schwarzenegger quotes. Yeah. Great. What would you say is your favorite filmmaker and actor if you had to choose a few?
Wow. Favorite director. I'm a huge De Palma fan.
Yep.
Phantom of the Paradise is my jam.
Scarface has a wonderful Blu-ray if you haven't seen it, where there's a kill and language counter.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
F-bomb counter. Sorry.
That makes sense.
Actor.
I love George C. Scott. He's probably my favorite.
You out of a bastard, I read your book.
You son of a bitch. I mean, he says that in every movie, you know.
Yes, but he does.
The contract, you have to. It's the George C. Scott. I love Glenn Ford.
Oh.
I love Richard Harris.
Yes. Wild Geese. Yeah.
So, you know,
you should remake A Man Called Horse just one day. Just do a loose remake and say, and just like do a funny satire of today's society.
I mean, that's I mean, I obviously I'm a horror fan, right? I love the Sam Raimi, you know, come on. Just grew up with Sam Raimi, you know, the Stuart Gordon stuff. I mean, it's just Carpenter. Argento's my favorite horror director.
We especially got it.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place. But when I look at the work of like George C. Scott, I'm like, wow. I mean, this is acting, you know.
Right. So. Yeah, this man got here legit.
Right. Right.
What music artist do you find yourself doing a cover of the most at times?
That I do a cover of Journey. I get asked to do Journey a lot because I can, you know, if you saw my pictures of me in high school, I look like Steve Perry. It's the reason I got my girlfriend or my wife that I have now is because she had the hots for Steve Perry, and I did a face swap on Steve Perry, and you can't tell the difference. And I can kind of sing like him. I mean, for people say, oh, you sound just like him. No, nobody sounds just like Steve Perry. I'm sorry. You just don't.
Well, hey. Bravo. If someone thinks you're the 2.0, you might as well take it. I can see you having a cover band and you rename it Perry 2.0.
I tell you an interesting story. This happened 9 years ago, before podcasting and all that. I got a phone call from a friend of mine. He's playing a band in Nashville. And he said, look, he said, you're about to get a call. You notice a lot of my conversations start with, hey, you're about to get a call.
Yes. Oh, my God. Stay by your landline.
Stay by your phone because you're going to get a call. And it was Tom Schultz's guitar tech, which Tom Schultz, the guitar player from Boston.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I got a call from Boston to come be their lead singer because they just fired whoever it was they had. They were having trouble with him.
Shit.
And
what'd you say?
I said no. Here's the deal. I mean, again, I just started my new job, and I know that sounds lame, but I worked hard to get to this position. And then the thing about Boston, they don't tour that often. They tour once every 4 or 5 years at the most.
When residuals become less, yeah.
Well, the thing is you're, you know, you can't just sit around and wait for the next 5 years for the next gig to come along. So I would have to throw everything away. I would have to leave my house. If everything would have went through, I'd have to leave my house and go to the LA Forum. It would have been the first gig and play with Boston. But they had like 3 shows left of the tour. So I'd done 3 shows and that'd kind of be it until they decide to do something else again. And it just, I'm going to say something that's kind of sacrilegious. I'm just not the biggest Boston fan.
Hey, you like what you like?
I do.
Have you ever been asked to do covers of Zeppelin, Van Halen, Tom Petty?
Do them all the time. We do them every night. Yeah. We do Van Halen, Tom Petty, like I said, Maiden. We do some Priest. We do Kiss. We do everything 70s and 80s. That's what we do.
We'll return after these messages.
The Jacked Up Review Show podcast is honored to be part of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network. Join anytime, talk the talk, and enjoy yourselves. There's something enlightening for everyone with this crowd of cool cats. Check them out.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We do Quiet Riot, Rat, Motley Crue.
Oh, sweet.
So
Motorhead?
Don't do any Motorhead.
Dream Theater?
No, we're not. No.
Yes. What about Yes?
No, we don't do really progressive stuff because... Two guys in the band are old headbangers, so which we do very well. So we're all, you know, Van Halen. I mean, a guitar player can, I mean, he does Eruption every night, so we can, you know, he nails it. So we got the abilities to do that kind of stuff, but we're not really a progressive band. We're just a meat and potatoes kind of rock band, you know, like I said, Journey, Styx, stuff like that. So, and we're booked. Whew. All of next year, every weekend from now till the end of next year. So
for those who might want to come by and listen, where do you perform at?
Oh, it's all in Kentucky. So, it's just, we play somewhere different every weekend. So
what do you recommend for anyone doing any indie music and who has to get ready for the whole, getting ready to pack up equipment and doing a long haul and drive. Any words of advice you'd recommend for those getting into it who have to be in the zone?
Yep. It matters what you play, because I play drums. So get a nice set of drums that don't weigh a lot. Hopefully your band has a trailer that they can hold all your hardware, so you don't have to haul that around. But carry, it's called a rock and roll carry or something. It's basically like a dolly made to hold music equipment. That thing's a lifesaver. I can pretty much put my whole drum set on it and do one trip out of the car to the venue and not have to make multiple trips. So yeah, just again, I'm a CI guy. I'm all about being lazy, finding the easiest way to do something. And yeah, I mean, why make it hard on yourself? Spend the money, get you good equipment that, you know, will make it worthwhile. I mean, I don't regret buying that dolly one bit. So.
Makes sense.
Altogether,
what would you say is just also key for those getting into podcasting? Because there's a lot of people who don't have any sense of time or know what they want, but not how to express it or get picky with their guests.
In the great words of Duncan McLeish, do what you love to do and your audience will find you, because, you know, stay true to it. Be consistent. And when we say consistent, it means your show is a consistent product. Also make it consistent as far as releasing, which I don't do, except for Dr. Movie, because I'm doing an episode every weekday.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not consistent, they don't know to be looking for it. So when you know, when they know that every other Friday you're going to drop an episode, people are already looking forward to that date. And make sure that your audio and stuff is good, right?
Yep.
Spend the money, get some decent equipment. You don't have to spend a lot. You can get one of these, you know, like a Yeti mic for what, $100 or something, and they sound great.
Walk around, make sure you're not thumping around where we can't hear what you're saying.
Right. And that's usually, people say, man, your mic sounds really good, and I'm not processing it at all. But what I am doing is, again, behind the drum set, I'm in a closet with clothes and stuff hanging up. So it's a real dry room, right?
Yeah.
And that really, you know, focuses on the mic. So there's nothing worse than listening to a show and you hear the like air conditioner kick on and it's louder than the person talking. And if you make sure your levels are the same, it takes a while to get used to liking your voice, because I hate my voice, always have. But get used to hearing it and making sure that other people that are on the show make sure that the levels are even. It's gotten a lot easier with Zoom and Skype like they are now, because it kind of fixes it for you to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just don't throw out a half-assed product. I mean, put some work on it. Your name is on it, so make it the best it can be. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's kind of different with Dr. Movie, because I do that on my drive back and forth to work, so I'm recording while driving. And so, you know, but it kind of works for that, because that's the setting, right? That's what it's going
to
be.
That's where you get time to yourself, and you don't have to worry about getting extra time.
Yeah. And being that they're only about 15 minutes long, I mean, it's just an easy way for me to talk about the ungodly amount of movies I want to talk about. So right now I'm doing, I've got all the Jaws sequels recorded, and I'm doing as many of the Jaws ripoff movies that I can.
Yep.
So it's a ton.
What's been your favorite kind of trashy movies to check out, especially ripoffs?
Oh, I love the Italian knockoff movies, man, because nobody rips off a movie like the Italians do, man.
No.
I mean, not only do they rip it off and you know exactly what they're ripping off, but they put their own little twist on it that makes it so entertaining, you know?
It's like they're trying to one-up Joe Dante on Piranha.
Yeah, right. I mean, think about Contamination, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, Contamination happened because Alien was a big hit.
Yeah.
But I feel like the people behind Contamination never even watched Alien. I think they just saw the poster that had the egg on it, and they were like, oh, it's about alien eggs.
There's this adventure movie that's literally, I kid you not, often been described as a mixture of Indiana Jones and Alien. Might as well mash them together.
Even Treasure of the Four Crowns, man. I love Treasure of the Four Crowns. Oh, there you go,
Canon Films.
Yeah, I mean, so... I these were on HBO when I was a kid. When I really hit that horror age, right, where, you know, the first time I saw Gates of Hell and all these movies, it just opened up this whole new world of these movies. I never will forget the first time I saw Reanimator. And as soon as it was over, I kicked the tape out, ran to my neighbor's house, and was like, you got to see this. And again, going back to – not being a drinker or a risk taker, my risk was, okay, try to scare me, right? That's the thrill. That was the thrill ride for me. And right. That's where I found, you know, all these movies, which back then, half of these weren't even around here. I mean, nobody knew what Stage Fright was or The Beyond.
If it wasn't carried by a big VHS label, you didn't see it at any of the mom and pop stores.
That was it. And that's all we had. We didn't have Blockbuster or anything like that when I was growing up. It was all mom and pop.
Did you try doing bootleg cable?
No, we didn't even have cable. So, you know, even at that point, we got cable. I don't know, maybe about 82, 83. But we didn't have the outlets for everything like that at the time. I started getting into duping, you know, videotapes probably 86 or so, found out, you know, how to do that stuff. And it was all just going to the video store, picking up, I don't know, children shouldn't play with dead things, and going, wow, this is crazy, you know.
What movie do you think you could talk about like 24/7? You're so madly in love with it.
Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Phantom of the Paradise and the first Superman movie.
Coming soon, the Phantom Minute podcast.
Oh yeah, it's just anytime I get a chance to talk about that one, I'm going to talk about it. That movie was so far ahead of its time. It is everything that is me rolled up into one movie, because it's got the horror element, the comedy element, it's got the music element, it's got the stuff that's just ahead of its time. I mean, this thing was talking about reality TV in 1973, you know, so it's just way ahead of its time. The fact that Winslow Leach, who's the Phantom of the movie, when he goes to blow up the record press where they stole his music, and he goes to blow up the record press where they have re-recorded his music, when he slips and falls and the record press squeezes his head, he now has imprinted on his face somebody else singing his song. It's got all these deep meanings that nobody thinks about, you know.
I think because we're too busy reacting to it.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I tell you, it's a brilliant film. It had its troubles because they got sued by Led Zeppelin. They got sued by, was it Mahogany Rush? Another band sued them because when Beef gets electrocuted on stage, they thought they were making fun of when this really happened. You know, you got pre-Kiss makeup, or right at the beginning when Kiss was putting makeup on, you know, when they're doing the stage show, it's very Kiss-like makeup. The voice box that the Phantom has on, George Lucas took that idea and gave it to Darth Vader. So, I mean, it's got all these pieces of it that people don't realize it was way ahead of its time.
Right.
Sorry, I told you I can go on about it.
No, that's fine, because there's so many movies that we don't even realize, like half of them, we take them away, you don't have 20 other movies that are
right
by it. But yeah,
and it's early De Palma, so you're starting to see him use the split screen and just really starting to get his bearings on it. It's just, I don't know, it's just something about it that just, it's my movie. The first Superman movie to me is special because it was the first time I went to the theater as a kid and realized somebody made this movie. You know, I started putting it together that this is something somebody made, you know, and it just changed the way I looked at movies. I always go back and forth of which one's my favorite movie of all time, but man, I love the first Superman movie so much. It's just perfection.
Nice. What do you think just keeps you going, other than being a workaholic, that you just always want to try out a new podcast show, and you're fearless at this rate? It's okay if it only lasts like 10 episodes or once every 2 months.
That was kind of the problem, was, you know, like I said, with Hail Ming, it's its own thing. And I just felt like there's so much more I wanted to cover. And again, we're limited based off of what Danny could do, you know, life-wise. And again, there's so much ground I want to cover. So many movies I want to talk about that will never even, you know, touch that show. So that's where Short Bus kind of came from. And then the House of Wax idea was, here's my horror show. But it was
for
really...
For those who don't know, wax is in, like, I'm going to whack like you. So
whack you with a machete or whatever.
Not wax is in, I'm melting on you.
But they were not necessarily podcasts. They were more video, video cast kind of things I was doing on YouTube. And it was
a cool experiment.
is a ton of work, man. I mean,
yeah,
because you know me, I can't just talk about the movie. I've got to make goofy songs about things that happen in it, and I mean,
adding a visual adds to.
Yeah, yeah, and it just became way too much work. And out of that, I had another show that I was doing. I was driving for a little bit under my wheels, which was fun, but it was more music based.
So it was just always that down the road with a big host set.
Well, it's hard to do music, and you know, you can't play the music and not get dinged, you know. So sure. Yeah, that was the thing, is I wanted to be able to play. I almost wanted to be a DJ, right, and play the songs and give you little bits of information about it, you know, before or after. And there's not an outlet for that in the podcast world without, you know, getting permission from everybody and all that hoopla. Yeah. So that's why it was short lived. Did House of Wax. And then there was Rad Movie-Rama.
Nice.
Which is me and all my split personalities.
Yeah. I they would appear in some of the same feeds, and I was like, whoa. Ricky's arguing with himself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would do these different voices. And
it's the Schizo Hour with your host, Ricky Morgan.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. So it's that entertainment factor again. Again, I'm comfortable on stage. You know, my job is teaching people, getting up in front of people and teaching them about something. So I'm naturally born to be in front of people. And that aspect of it, I thought, I've never done something where it's all these voices, but they're all just me, and I'm arguing about things. And then that created a movie fight nights in the middle of that, where I'd take a piece of the movie where there was a fight, and it would be like a wrestling match, right? It would be called out.
Nice.
Oh, we got him, you know, that kind of stuff. And matter of fact, the new Hell Ming episode is going to have one of those for Superman 4, where they're fighting on the moon.
There you go.
So,
fight,
but
fight,
again,
fight.
I end up making them way too much work, and I get burned out, or I get behind. And again, this goes back to telling everybody, be consistent. Do what you have the ability to do. If you're only going to make an episode a month, make an episode a month, but make it consistent, because that's kind of the pitfalls I've been having until Dr. Movie. And Dr. Movie is where all this came together, and it just works, right? Because I can watch the movie, spit out a 15-minute thing while driving, and I do all the editing and everything on my phone, which there's no editing. I don't cut anything out. It is what it is. I've got an opening track and an ending track that goes around it.
Yeah.
I send it to Legion, and boom, there it is.
Nice.
And I'm really happy with it. You know, it's just easy and fun, and I don't know, I'm enjoying it.
Very cool. And all together, I mean, since everyone's got their own kind of side deal, how many shows do you recommend everyone just go by in general? Like, how many should everyone like be willing to do?
Are you talking about
just if they're going to do multiple shows and put a limit on it?
Well, it matters what the formula is, because like you know what's awesome was me and Billy Stewart's from Scary Dad podcast. We yes. met in Texas as well. Great show. And because it was open topic, you know, it wasn't a specific movie, it was like, hey, you know what's awesome? Ninjas. And we'd go through everything ninja, not only movies, but the impact that it had on us as kids. We'd go by throwing stars, you know, and Billy did the majority of the work on that. So it took a load off of me. I could still do a show, and all I had to do was talk, and he would do everything else. Whereas Hell Ming, I'm driving the bus there, and then solo show, I'm driving. So it's that thing of, you know, you can do two or three things as long as you're not carrying all the load and you're trying to be a perfectionist, because, you know, that just makes it harder on you. And that causes burnout, boys and girls. I've been there, and I even left Hell Ming for a while and let Mark Allison fill in for me, because I was working three jobs and trying to hold up three podcasts at the same time, and it was rough. So, you know, I'd say get one going and get it really good and get it comfortable to where it's almost on autopilot, and then you can explore with something different. But don't make it too much the same of what you're already doing. It needs to be something a little bit different. just because what's the point of doing another show if you're not going to do something different than what you're already doing?
Right.
So your niche.
Yeah, it's your niche, so own it.
Right.
Well, this has been cool. Anything else you'd like to promote in the future that's coming soon?
Just crossed episode 200 with Dr. Movie, which the show has only been around for a year, and I've already done 200 episodes. But again, they're 15 minutes, so, you know, that's a nice little... I think the feedback I get is people like it because it's quick, it's easy. Dan Bone from Podcast on Haunted Hill is like, I like it because it's a small daily dose of Rick, you know. You know, so it doesn't go too long. Nice. You know, there's that. And like I said, Hell Ming is climbing back out. And matter of fact, all of these, if you look them up, they're going to be lumped together. They're all under the Hell Ming moniker. So if you're looking for Dr. Movie, like on a podcatcher or whatever, pod player, you look up Hell Ming Power Hour and you'll find all the Dr. Movie stuff there too. So it's all combined. Now on YouTube, I've got them separated. So if you're into checking out, like I said, the old House of Wax stuff, you can go to YouTube, go to Dr. Movie, and you'll see a playlist of all the House of Wax stuff, and the majority of the episodes of the new stuff's on there too, and Rad Movie Rama. All my solo stuff is kind of there together.
Sweet.
But yeah, Legion Podcast, man. What an awesome thing it's been to just be welcomed into this family, and all the characters and the great podcasters that I've become friends with, you included. I mean, if yes, it wasn't for being able to get on Legion and reach out and meet everybody, it's so much fun. It's so neat to, you know, make these companionships with people that, you know, I'll probably never see them in my life, in real life, but you feel like you're close friends and you would do anything for them you could, you know? So it's a Legion is a nice, community
and big getaway. Yeah.
And, you know, we like working with each other, and, you know, it's just a real cool thing to be involved in. So enjoy it.
Enjoy it while it lasts, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you ever so much for this. This was just eye-opening because I see so many people who kind of just don't really want to talk about stuff like this. And it's cool to kind of pick each other's brains and just remind everyone, sure, hey, it's a thing.
It would be different if I knew what I was talking about. I literally just am flying by the seat of my pants, and I hate to say it, but I kind of live my life that way. It's the jack of all trades, right? Jack of all trades and master of Uno.
Oh, there you go.
But you can fake it just enough. You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time. And that's kind of the box that I set in.
There you go. You're like the bad magician. There's an 80s callback. I might be fooling you.
But yeah, man, this has been great. I appreciate you even being interested in anything that works in this brain of mine.
You are a powerhouse, man. So
I appreciate that. I'm just a dude, just like anybody else.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.